Proverbs 4, if you would please, verse 20, where we've been starting our previous 2 days. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Notice that again, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them what? Them words. Let the word not depart from thine eyes. Keep them what? Them words. Keep the word in the midst of thine heart. Keep them there. Keep them there. Keep them there. We looked at, if you continue in His word, then are you His disciples indeed. We looked at Exodus 15 chapter, verse 26, that told us this, that we were to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody open up your notes and give me the definition of continuing. Hallelujah. I want to make sure you're writing it down. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Read it out there, honey.
With painstaking effort.
Painstaking effort.
And I also have painful persistence.
And persistence, glory be unto God. Brother Brian, give me another part of the definition.
Perseverance,
yes. To go on resolutely in spite of difficulty, glory to God. And stubbornly. Now notice this again. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You're going to have to work at this and continue at it in every aspect of your life. Whatever the area is you need some help in, you're going to have to get into that part of the word and get it applied to your life, not forgetting all the other parts. Well, that could take some time. Yes, that's what's painstaking effort. Glory be unto God. I tell you what, it takes effort to get up early in the morning and pray. It takes effort to pray during the day. It takes effort to come here tonight. God knows it takes effort. I was praying for you tonight and thanking God, glory be unto God, that He's going to return your time. You're sowing your time into making your life better, and God's going to reward you by making your life better. Amen. Glory be unto God. Are you listening to me now? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life. What's life? Word. His word is life unto those that find them. Unto those that find them. That must mean you've got to seek it out. Glory be unto God. In fact, you can go over here, where I think it's chapter 2 it is, chapter 2, verse 3 of Proverbs, and it says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Are you here? I mean, that gives you an idea. You're going to have to do some seeking. You're going to have to get into the book and crack the book and look and look and look and study and pray and meditate the word, and you're going to have to search for it as hidden treasure, because that's what it is. I remember a few years back, been probably 23, 24 years ago, my dad got into a relationship with a guy. They became, you know, kind of friends, and they were made out of two different, they were molded out of two different molds, but they, you know, they were acquaintance. A guy got spirit filled, and he was an adventurer, and he got my dad one time to make a trip with him to Georgia, I believe it was, or Alabama, to look for hidden treasure from the Civil War days. They searched and searched and searched and didn't find. But we can search and search and search in the Bible and find. Glory be unto God. I said, glory be unto God. Now notice that again, verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them, those words, and health. Everybody say health.
Health.
The marginal renderings of most Bibles say it, and medicine to all their flesh. Now we have taken verse 20, where it says, incline thy ear unto my sayings, and we have been in the Gospels primarily looking at the sayings of Jesus. Everybody say sayings.
Sayings.
Now we were going to go on into the epistles tonight, but and I had actually finished the sermon. It's a long sermon. I might preach it tomorrow night. It's a really long sermon. But I just didn't feel like that's what the Lord wanted for tonight. So I just stayed before the Lord and jotted down some notes for another sermon, glory to God. Two in one day, not bad. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, I got blessed, and you're going to be blessed too. But first, turn with me to John 14, if you would, please, because I just want to read a couple of passages that we read last night to keep it before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. John, the 14th chapter, verse 10 says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." And then last night I read to you out of the original Greek, and the original Greek's translation is this: "The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me speaketh them. And the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth them." We looked at Hebrews, the first chapter. Let's just go back over there. It won't hurt you to turn in your Bibles. Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 1. It says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days," speaking of God, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." So when God needed a speaker, a magnifier of His voice in the earth, He chose to speak unto the earth by His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said what God said. Jesus did what God did. If I find where Jesus is doing something, I can actually say that's God speaking to me on how it ought to be. When I can find Jesus saying something, that's God speaking to me that this is the way it is. I don't have to guess and think about coming up with a new idea, a new doctrine. I just have to look at this man that God has placed in the earth, anointed by His Spirit, and whatever he did, I can do, and whatever he says, I can say. Whatever he can do, I can believe that it's for me today, and whatever he said, I can believe it's for me today. However he said healing comes, that's how God is saying healing comes. Amen. Amen. Now, we've looked a little at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, but we're not going to look there tonight. If I preach the sermon that I was going to preach tonight, tomorrow night we'll hear more on that. I don't know. I'll find out tomorrow after prayer. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Matthew, the 9th chapter. So I just continued on in the Gospels and went to the next. I said, well, if you want me to stay in the Gospels, I guess I'll just go to the next healing that appears here. Since we spent all last night in chapter 8 and looked at the sayings of Jesus and the sayings of the Father, we'll just go to chapter 9. But to get a real good picture of chapter 9, it's going to require us to go to Mark 2 and Luke 5 also, but we'll read out of chapter 9 to begin with. Verse 1, "And he entered into a ship." Hey, third sermon. I've actually told you what scripture to go to. Chapter 9, verse 1. "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now you'll see in just a second why we're going to other instances this occurs in the Scriptures, because it gives us more in-depth and more in-depth picture than what we're finding here in Matthew. "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house." Jesus is saying this to him. Now you have to understand something about these scribes and these Pharisees. They had been watching him closely now for weeks and months, and they had seen him heal people. Now that kind of went against the old doctrine of the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people, the doctors of the law of Moses. That kind of bugged them. But when a man starts forgiving sins, He was raising himself to the equality to be equal with the Almighty God, and that was blasphemous to them. So they could live with the healing part, but whenever he started relieving people of their sins, forgiving them of their sins, that about did it. Now, we have just the opposite, basically, in our day and time. They believe that he's a forgiver of sins, but when you get to that healing thing, no way, Jack, you are off on a blasphemous trek. I remember when I was in college, and I got filled with the Spirit in college, and my mom and dad went to a church and had a little pastor, as sweet as could be, and he'd gotten baptized. It was a denominational church, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and the denomination just treated him like ugly. And he thought he was going to straighten out the denomination. Number one, don't try to straighten out your denomination. And so he wrote a little book, a little booklet, on the subject of divine healing. And just a little thing. I mean, you know, it was fine. It was fine. He'd gotten a hold of the truth of divine healing, and his church didn't believe in it, and he sent it off to the headquarters, you know, and wanted to turn them into making their denominational church into a healing believing church. Well, in a few days, he got back his manuscript, and he showed it to me because he was absolutely shocked at what it took place. Well, I'd just been filled with the Spirit for a few weeks, and I wasn't shocked. As a matter of fact, I could if he'd asked me, I would have said, "Don't, don't do it." Anyway, and it just deflated him, and they took big red marker and they marked it all up, and he was preaching on how, you know, that healing was purchased for us in the redemptive act. And I remember this note, they circled it real big and said, "You are taking away from the work of Jesus on the cross by adding healing to the redemption." Taking away by adding. There are certain things that stick with my brain, like wooden teeth. And he was just deflated, and he just went on. They went on, and his poor little paper was nothing but like a stop sign when they got through. It had so much red on it. And so they could go with this forgiveness of sin stuff, but this healing stuff, so it's just the opposite. But it's still the same spirit. It's called a religious spirit. Same spirit. Same spirit. Couldn't you see Andy Griffith? Back in Mayberry going, "Religious spirit," you know. Hallelujah. And Barney trying to get his gun out, you know. I mean, it's hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And so this was just a little bit too much for them. And they said, this is blasphemous. He's blaspheming the God of Israel. Now, what was Jesus trying to get over to them in this whole thing? Well, he says it all right here. I believe it's in the, verse 5. "For whether is easier." He's just saying this. It's no harder for me to forgive sins than it is for me to heal, and it's no harder for me to heal than it is to forgive sins. Now, that's good news to us. Glory be unto God. If you're born again and forgiven, it's no harder for him to heal us than it was for us to be saved. I remember the night when, the many, many nights, because in our church, if you goofed up, you had to get saved every night. And I made so many trips to the altar with the other people that it's a good thing they didn't have carpet on the floors. They had tile, or we'd have worn the carpet out. Up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down, weeping, crying, pastor next to us, leading us back into the kingdom. Oh, my God. Good people. I don't know, you're looking at me probably going, "What kind of church did you go to?" Well, I'm not going to say anything because they were sweet people. They're sweet people. But, you know, it just took once. And it was really easy the first time. It got hard after that. Hallelujah. Just believe in our heart. God raised Jesus from the dead, confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and we're going to be saved. I didn't have to get dunked. I did. Twice. First time didn't take. No, then I went to another church with a girl. And her church convinced me that I wasn't born again because I hadn't been dunked yet. So I didn't want to go to hell, so I got dunked. Anybody here? Oh, thanks be unto God. Then the second time I actually got dunked in faith, the Bible way, instead of fear. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? It's easy for Him, and that's what He wants us to know. He wanted the Pharisees to know. Now, we're getting ready to turn to Scripture, and we're going to read it with really open eyes here in just a second. It's going to be a blessing to you. It's easy. As we read a couple of weeks ago, it's a light thing for God. You dig the ditches, He'll fill it up without wind or water. Brother Brian was showing me Sunday, somebody blessed him with a Bible, thanks be unto God. And he said the first place he opened up in the Bible was, it's a light thing. It's where it fell open. Glory be unto God. Well, that's blasphemous in some churches. Luke, the 5th chapter, we're going to look at Dr. Luke's relating this story to us. It's not a story, this event. Luke, the 5th chapter. We're going to look at the wording really carefully here. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, some things popped out of this today, and I just know I'm in the flow. Now look what it says in verse 17, chapter 5 of Luke's Gospel. And it came to pass on a certain day, as He was teaching. Now another entrance of this said He was preaching. So He was teaching, but in the middle of it He'd break into the preach, which happens sometimes. I do the same thing. Did you know that the Bible speaks of Jesus' teaching ministry much more than it did of His preaching ministry? He was a teacher. He was also a prophet. He was also an evangelist. He was all five of the fivefold ministry. But it spoke a lot about His teaching ministry. As He was teaching, well, let's start at the beginning of the verse. And it came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Now get this, which were come out of every town of Galilee. They came out of every town of Galilee, did the Pharisees, and Judea, and Jerusalem. They came into a house from all over the place in the Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Who did? The Pharisees and the doctors of the law, the scribes. Notice what the next part of the Scripture says. Now who's there? A bunch of Pharisees and scribes, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Oh, it just went through me. You know, I've read this I don't know how many times. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I was there to heal those cantankerous old guys. They came from all over the place to condemn Him as He taught, and the Holy Ghost showed up and would have healed every one of them. So there must have been some sickens. Let's read it again. And it came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but not one of them got healed because they didn't exhibit what somebody's getting ready to exhibit in just a second. And behold, men. Well, over in Mark, the 2nd chapter, it tells us there were 4 men. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. Glory be unto God. Everybody say a palsy. Well, I just want to read to you. I have to go to another place in my notes because I was going to do it later, but I feel I'm supposed to do it now. The word palsy, some of you get the idea, I think, that somebody had the shakes. But the word palsy here comes from the Greek word paralytikos, which is where we get the word paralytic from. This guy was paralyzed. That's why he was in the bed. He didn't have shakes. Now, in case you don't know what paralyzed means, partial or complete loss of the ability to move or have sensation in a bodily part as a result of injury or a disease of a nerve supply. I wanted to put that in there because I want you to get the idea. This man was paralyzed. That's very important to understand. If you're going to be healed, if you're going to receive from God, you have to know, no matter what condition you're in, you got to move when God says move and not give the shaken head no to God. Now notice, and behold, men, four men, brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, a man who was paralyzed, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, stop there, hold your finger, go with me to Mark 2. Holding your finger there because we want to come back. Because we can get more some more information about this. Verse 2, chapter 2. And straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I mean, there was no place. They couldn't even get inside the front door because there were so many people in there. Well, who was in there? The Pharisees that had come from every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. The house was filled with a bunch of doubt. And this person's come in faith. These four people carrying this man are coming in faith and they can't even get in. And notice on. Verse 18, chapter 5 of Luke again. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Gives you a little more insight than Matthew 9. I mean, their faith got to the level they said, nothing's stopping us from getting to this man. They climbed up on top of his house, tore the top off of it, glory to God, and lowered him down in. And it said, Jesus saw their faith. Amen. Faith is tangible to the five physical senses. You can tell when someone's believing God generally, and you can tell when they're not. And he said, my me, that's my Lord, my me, I see their faith surrounded by doubt and unbelief, and the presence of God was there to heal all of those sick preachers. Nobody was getting healed, and these people exhibit faith. Verse 21, going on down. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Now we're going to go on from that in just a second. I want you to do something with me tonight. I want to make you aware of it. And then I want you to help me from this point on with this situation. Now, you're going to have to be tuned up to the things of God. You're going to have your spirit tuned up when you come into the church. That's one thing. It's good to hear the word and come in and pray to tune your spirit. Now, we've had a situation ever since I started pastoring. Every preacher talks about it. Sometimes you preach and it's like throwing, Brother Hagin says it this way, it's like throwing a rubber ball off the back wall and it bounces off and hits you. Nobody catches it in between you and the back wall and you just get the recoil. And we've been having glorious things. And then we got into the situation that I told you about last night. My wife was in tears up here on the front row because she was grieved in her spirit because she knew that it wasn't going like the Lord wanted it to go. Immediately after the service, I go into prayer and begin to pray to come against religious devils. Now, I want you to notice something with Jesus. Jesus had a room full of religious devils to the door opening, from his feet to the opening, all the way around, filled up, and yet he didn't let it stop him when faith entered the room. And five people didn't let it stop. You're going to have to tune in your spirit that you know when there's a hard thing. This is your church. This is your territory. Don't let religious devils steal your blessing. And when you've got to tune your spirit in and know when there's a struggle and you're running, the preacher's running up against a brick wall. And some of you got up and you left after the service, that's fine. And some of you said, well, I wonder what Pastor and Rachel. Well, we didn't say anything. She just knows, just like I just know. And you're going to have to tune your spirit in and you're going to have to stay there and under your breath say, you foul devils, you will not interrupt my church service in the name of Jesus. This is your church, and this is your pastor. Glory be unto God. Now, you have people come in who just suck it out of you. I mean, these people came, and they just sucked it right out of me. They didn't sit there going, you know. I don't know why some pull by faith and some don't. If I had the answer to that, I'd be writing a lot of books and making a lot of money because preachers would be buying my book. Glory be unto God. This is your church. These are your services. Be sensitive to the Spirit on that. Okay? So I made you aware. Hallelujah. Not people aren't bad. People are a product of generally what they've been taught their whole life. And it's difficult to change their mind in 30 minutes. Especially when they believe God sanctifies silence and you people are screaming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now notice here, we're going on. I want you to notice verse 24 very, very carefully. He said, everybody said he said. Here's a saying right here. He's going to teach us something. Not only is the paralytic going to get something out of this, you're going to get something out of it. I'm going to get something out of it. He said, I say unto thee, arise. Number one. Number two, take up thy couch or thy bed. And number three, and go into thine house. Told him to do three things. Now notice what he said, what the book says. And immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately. And immediately, he didn't shake his head no. He didn't say, you silly ninny, can't you see I'm paralyzed? Could you send a cloud over and suck me up in a cloud and let my little feeble legs dangle out till they're healed and then put me on the ground and let me go? No. He said, arise, and the Bible says, immediately. There was no argument. There was boogie. Now, something just jumped off the page when I saw that. Immediately. And suddenly I remembered another scripture in the Bible that has immediately in it. Hold your finger there and go with me to Mark, the 4th chapter. It's talking about the sower sowing the word, and we get down to verse 17. And it talks about those who have no root in themselves. And it says, and have no root in themselves. Well, verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Verse 17. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Remember we talked about the word offended the other night. Immediately they stumble. They receive the word because they receive it with gladness, But because they don't have any root, because they haven't meditated the Word, because they don't study the Word, because they don't feed on the Word, something happens, persecution comes. Period. It comes to all of us. Hardships come to all of us. It's just some deal better with it than others because of the level of the Word on the inside of them. Glory to God. But I want you to notice what it says happens immediately. Immediately they are offended for the Word's sake. They stumble over the Word. Now, in every situation when the Holy Ghost speaks, whether it's in your spirit or through the mouth of a man or woman of God, there is a momentary happening. And it is fleeting. It's quickly, it will go away. You have the decision, am I going to act on that Word or am I going to be offended by that Word and immediately go the other way? Now, this man could have stayed there and the Word came forth, arise, and he thought about it for a second and he could have stumbled over that Word and said, well, I can't. Or he can go immediately, he just got up. He just immediately got up. This is the problem that happens a lot of times when the Lord speaks to somebody and says, give $5,000. You're in the middle of a service and he says, give $5,000. If you'll be immediate about it, he'll never steal from you. But if you think about it for a second, you will be offended by that Word and you'll start trying to find out how you can keep from doing it. I can't give that. I just can't. I remember we came home from California. So I used $5,000 for a purpose. We came home from California. We came home from California. And that wasn't our home. We came home after I taught at the Bible college. We came home. We didn't have a salary. Thanks be unto God we had some money through some wise things that we had done with real estate and stuff. And in a service, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to us to give $5,000, and we hadn't seen a paycheck in weeks, and the Lord said, give $5,000. Now, we had a decision right then. Are we going to be immediate? Did we do it immediately, or did we sit there and say, Lord, are you aware of the fact that we haven't seen a paycheck in weeks? We're preaching for free here. No, we immediately acted. And let me tell you what the Spirit of the Lord said to me today. And he says, because you immediately acted, he said, you've been living off the benefits of that for the last 6 years. I mean, every time we turn around and we need money for something, the money's there. Every time we say, honey, let's go on a cruise, because the Spirit of the Lord said, go on a cruise, the money's there. God will sign a check, drop it by, he'll speak to somebody. $500 will come. $750 will come. Glory be unto God. I'll walk by somebody, they'll stick something in my pocket. Glory be unto God. He told me I'm still living off of that all these years later. Because we were moved immediately. But some people just get talked out of it. They are offended. If you don't do it, that means you were offended by it. You stumbled up. You know, you did the Dick Van Dyke over it. Going back to our 60s sitcoms. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His power was present, she said. And when the Lord drops something wild like that on the end, now $5,000 is not a whole lot of money to a lot of people. But that was a sizable amount to us. Amen. And I strongly look forward to the day when it's 50,000. Hallelujah. Glory. Now let's look on, because I'm totally off my notes. Where am I at? Glory to God. First, immediately he rose up before them. Notice what he did secondly. and took up that whereon he lay, because the second command of Jesus was, take up your couch, take up thy bed. So he got up immediately, and the second thing he did is jerked up his bed. This man is being obedient to Jesus and not tripping over his words. Well, God, you know, I can just see some people. Oh, he gets up, and then he starts going, do you realize that I have been flat on my back now for years and years? I can't remember if Mark 2 tells how long he's been there. I don't think it does. Anyway, you know how long? Lumbago set in. God just healed your legs. And they start arguing, you know, maybe it wouldn't be good if I picked that thing up. Of course, back then all it was a pallet. People slept on the floor. But nowadays, they're going to stumble over the second phase. Now, the third phase, I've seen people stumble over this real big. And I'm getting ready to tell you something I've had somebody tell me that will just absolutely launch your brain to realms unknown. Because you won't be able to believe somebody actually said this. But Brother Hagin tells us his example. So I tell you, we're small. I'm going to tell flaky examples here. Arise, he got up immediately. Wasn't offended by the word. Secondly, he took up the couch. That's the saying of Jesus. He did what he said. He took it up. The third thing that I'd never seen before, and God ministered to my spirit, he said, and go into thine house, which means that he had been cared for in somebody else's house. And Jesus is going to tell him, I want you to break all association with your paralysis. Now, so this guy is going to go from a place of having somebody cook for him, pick him up, carry him to the potty, going to go from the place of having somebody bathe him and care for him and supplying his every need to now Jesus saying, get up and go to your own house. You're going to have to start taking care of yourself. You're going to have to go back to work and get a job and provide for yourself. I once had somebody tell me, they said, you know, Pastor, oh, let it out of the bag. Years ago, they went to this church. They said, Pastor, they said, you know, I really don't want to get healed because then I won't be able to get my subsidies from the government. I said, what? What are you talking about? They would have stumbled over that word right there. And you know what had happened? I'll guarantee you this guy would have been paralyzed again within 4 weeks. If you don't do what Jesus says, you open yourself up to get yourself back in the same position. Jesus didn't do it. There's a devil waiting out there. I mean, the demons are running around. They're looking in there to see if the house is swept clean. It ain't. They're back, and they got all kinds of friends coming with them. Yeah, I won't be able to get my checks any longer. Come out of them! Yeah, you know, I don't really want to. As the Jews would say, Ligavalt. Going on. Now that might not have flipped out some of your minds like I thought, but that'll make it into my book. Glory to God. And praise be unto the Lord. I don't even remember the person's name. They only went here for a little while. Glory to God. I don't want to remember. Hallelujah. Now look at this. These are the sayings of Jesus. You're learning. What am I getting out of this? He said, incline thy ear. We're inclining our ears to the way that faith operates. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter says this. It says that faith can be growing exceedingly. Faith can grow. So the more that I absorb from the Word of God through my ears and through my meditation, my faith will grow. Now notice, here's this paralyzed dude. Arise, take up thy couch, go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that wherein he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Oh, I just got the picture of this guy that I've never gotten. The room is so crowded he can't get in, and now what he's got his bedroll underneath his arm, and he's pushing through the crowd, and he's going through the back door, and they're going. He didn't go back up through the roof. I mean, this is Jesus. And Jesus knew he had to go right through the middle of all these doubt-filled jerks. They've been sitting there accusing, condemning, and they could have all been healed. Now this guy, now I don't know if you studied about the people in the New Testament that glorified God. They got happy. He probably flew apart like a joint snake, as my dad would say. Arms going everywhere, walking and leaping and praising God. Probably knocked a few hats off of them. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to read verse 26 to you. We'll have to come back to some of these scriptures, but I want to get verse 26 read here. I got to find it in my notes. I've just made a mess here. Amplified Bible says, well, we'll read from here. And they were all amazed. Now the Amplified says, and overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all, and they recognized and praised and thanked God, and they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear, and kept saying, we have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today. So here they were going from, who do you think you are, to going, we've seen some really strange things today. We have seen wonderful and strange and incredible. Thank you, Lord. You have enough supernatural manifestations in front of unbelievers, and pretty soon they're going to get the idea.
Right.
Folks, let me tell you, some people will never come to Jesus unless they experience something bigger than a track. You want to know how Jews are going to come to Jesus? When he pours out his supernatural power before their eyes, and they're going to say, and a spirit of grace and supplication is going to be poured out upon them. The supernatural. Honestly, every Jew that I've ever met that came to Jesus has come to Jesus through some supernatural happening. I'm not saying they all do, but the ones I know. God speaking through them to them through a radio. They turn on a radio and it's the voice of God. Jesus appearing to them in their bedroom, walking into the foot of their bed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, now, here's what we've got. Healing is no harder for God than your salvation. And the power of God can be present to heal even cantankerous religious folks. But the anointing will be inactive until someone tears the roof off the dump and lets their faith out. The anointing is always present. But you have to make a demand on it. It's just like, it's not always active, but it's always present, because the anointing is the Holy Spirit. For instance, I'm anointed to teach the Word of God, but it's not always active. If it was, I would just have to teach all the time, and I'd finally just teach myself to death. But what I have to do is I do the things necessary to do. I prepare, I study, I pray. And then I step out into this pulpit and I move in faith that it's going to come out of me. and I start to talk, and I activate that anointing that's on my life. But I don't walk around with it on me all the time. I have to access it by faith. And you can do the same thing. You can access the anointing on me by faith. That little grandma that came up to me in the 4 year of that big church got a hold of me, and God opened her ears, and she heard. She just accessed the anointing. Nobody else around there, they weren't accessing it. They wanted to talk to me about my tapes. She wanted healed. Glory be unto God. Look in verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he saw the efforts they were going to get that man to them. He saw their faith. He perceived it with his senses. He saw it. I'm sure he saw it in his spirit, but he also saw what they were doing. Everybody else, you know, was just sitting there. But they're tearing the roof off of his house, and I believe this was his house. They're tearing the roof off. Most of us would have lost our salvation about right there. But Jesus knew the same word he was preaching and put the tile back on the ceiling. Glory to God. And they lowered him down. He saw it. Now, I want you to see what happened after he saw faith. Verse 26, it says, "We have seen strange things today." When he sees our faith, we see strange things. We'll never see a strange thing unless he sees faith. Faith is what causes wild things to happen. Amen. Are you listening? He sees faith. You see strange things. That's just it. When he sees faith, we see stuff. Did you hear that? When he sees faith, we see stuff. Well, we're believing. Yeah, we believe. But remember, faith groweth exceedingly. So the greater our faith grows, well, turn over there to 2 Thessalonians. You just need to see it. 2 Thessalonians. But you can talk about faith, needing faith. How does it come? This is how it comes, what we're doing tonight. This is exactly how it comes. This is how you get it. You've got it. Let me rephrase that. You've got it, but this is how you get it to grow. Verse 3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." There's an interesting sermon all in itself. As your faith groweth exceedingly, something else is taking place. Your love towards each other is abounding, because faith is motivated and operates and works by love. Glory be unto God. And so as your love grows, your faith just gets stronger and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. So when he sees growing faith, then he lets us see wild things. Glory be unto God. Thank God for wild things. Now let's go through it again. Jesus said, "Arise." He arose immediately. He said, "Take up thy couch," in verse 24. Verse 25, it says, "He took up that wherein he lay." Verse 24 says, "Go into thine own house." Verse 25 says, "He departed to his own house." He didn't say, "But I won't be able to get government help any longer." He said, I'm going to work tomorrow morning. Amen. I'm going to work tomorrow morning. Glory be unto God. Okay, I'm closing my notes, but I just want to read this once again. "And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today." Glory to God. And immediately a bunch of rich people throw a party and Jesus is invited. What happens next? And they were there condemning him of that too, because they weren't believers. Hallelujah. Old Levy here. You've heard of Matthew, haven't you? Oh, Matt. These guys worked for the Roman government. They collected taxes. And they got the percentage. Why didn't people like them? Because they got roughed up sometimes if they didn't pay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord's good. That's another sermon too. Did you get one thing out of it? Immediately. Glory to God. Immediately.